Good to see everybody again. So we're continuing with our Chaitanya Charitamrita reading. So first we're going to chant Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Bada Halji. Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Bada Halji. Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Malaba Giri Badodhagudhi. Gopi Jana Malaba Giri Badodhagudhi. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Paravitakacharya, Olstoteta, Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace, Avaya Chalanana Bhaktivananda Goswami, Srila Prabhupad Kijai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupad Kijai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai, Parvrem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrindikajai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikopatna Shayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagadadasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lassi Devi Gajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Gajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Go. All glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Gajai, Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Go. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Pristaya Budhle Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamana Dhamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarni. So Omaganati Miranda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, Srila Prabhupada Gijai. So, we'll continue with our reading of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're starting today on the 20th text in the first chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela. But before we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we chant this mantra three times. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Chaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Chaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, so let us move to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Nectarian pages of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Here we go. Okay, just one second. Okay. Ah, Hare Krishna. Just making sure the sound's all right and everything is copathetic. Okay, text 20. This Chaitanya Charitamrita is so blissful. I am so happy that we chose to go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita next. So, Rantirarambe Kare Mangala Charan Guru Vaishnava Bhagavan Tinera Smaran. Just a word about the pronunciation. I'm pronouncing this differently than I would pronounce Sanskrit because this is Bengali. So in Bengali, it would be Tinera Smaran instead of, in Sanskrit, it would be Tinera Smarana. So if you're questioning why I'm pronouncing it like that, that's why. In the beginning of this narration, simply by remembering the spiritual master, the devotees of the Lord, and the personality of Godhead, I have invoked their benedictions. So this is the proper etiquette for starting anything. You glorify and invoke the benedictions, blessings, that's what benedictions means, of great personalities. Tinera smarane hoy vigna vinashan anayase hoyanija vanchita puran. Such remembrance destroys all difficulties and very easily enables one to fulfill his own desires. So simply by remembering these great personalities, all of one's desires, spiritual desires, become fulfilled. You get rid of all impediments. Say Mangala Charan Hoy Trivida Prakar Vastu Niresha Ashirvada Namaskar. So, namaskar. The invocation involves three processes: defining the objective, that's the goal, offering benedictions, and offering obeisances. All right. Pratamadvi shloke ishta deva namaskar samanya vishesha rupe dvitar prakar. The first two verses offer respectful obeisances generally and specifically to the Lord who is the object of worship. Tritiya shlokite kare vastura nirdesh hoya hoite jana jani para tatvera hudesh. In the third verse, I indicate the absolute truth who is the ultimate substance. With such a description, one can visualize the supreme truth. Chaturtha shlok. Kite kare jagate ashirvad sarvacha magye krishna chaitanya prasad. In the fourth verse, I've invoked the benediction of the Lord upon all the world, praying to Lord Chaitanya for his mercy for all. Sei shloke kahi vayavatar vayavatara karan pancha shaste shloke kahi mula prayojan. In that verse, I have also explained the external reason for Lord Chaitanya's incarnation, but in the fifth and sixth verses, I've explained the prime reason for his advent. Now, just to reiterate, the external reason for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming down was to spread the Sankirtan movement and to save everybody. But the prime reason, the primary reason, the internal reason, is to understand the love that Radharani has for him, to experience the ecstasy that Radharani experiences and to see himself through her eyes. Echai shloke kahi chaitanyera tattva arapancha shloke nichanandera mahatattva. In these six verses, I've described the truth about Lord Chaitanya, whereas in the next five, I've described the glory of Lord Nityananda. Ara dvi shloke advaita tattva kyan. Ara eka shloke pancha tatvira vyakyan. The next two verses describe the truth of Advaita Prabhu, and the following verse describes the Panchatattva, the Lord, his plenary portion, that's Lord Nityananda, his incarnation, that's Advaita Acharya, his energies, that is Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and his devotees, that is Srivas Thakur, who is Narada Muni. Hold on a second. Echo the shloke kare mangala charan. Tanni madde kahi sava vastu nirupan. These 14 verses, therefore, offer auspicious invocations and describe the supreme truth. Sava shrota vaishnavere kare namaskar. Esava shlokera kare artha vichar. I offer my obeisances unto all my Vaishnava readers as I begin to explain the intricacies of all these verses. Sakala Vaishnava Shunakari Ekaman Chaitanya Krishnara Shastra Mata Nirupan. I request all my Vaishnava readers to read and hear with rapt attention this narration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as inculcated in the revealed scriptures and Prabhupada's purport. Lord Chaitanya is the absolute truth, Krishna himself. This is substantiated by evidence from the authentic spiritual scriptures. Sometimes people accept a man as God on the basis of their whimsical sentiments and without reference to the revealed scriptures, but the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita proves all his statements by citing the Shastras. Thus he establishes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna Guru Bhakta Shakti Avatara Prakash Krishna E Chaya Rupe Karena Vilas. Lord Krishna enjoys by manifesting himself as the spiritual masters, the devotees, the diverse energies, the incarnations, and the planetary forces. They are all saved. So I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Devotees. There's different energies, Krishna Shakti Vedana, hey, Hari Bhavartana. It's diverse energies like material energy, spiritual energy, and the Jiva soul, Tritiya Shakti Ishute. The incarnations and the plenary portion. And we describe what a plenary portion is. A plenary portion is a Vishnu Tattva expansion of Krishna, who is on the same plane as Krishna, is the same as Krishna, just Krishna acting differently. Okay? And that applies to portions of plenary portions and portions of portions of plenary portions. Okay, next verse. Echai tatvera kari charana vandan pratame samanye kari mangala charan. I therefore worship the lotus feet of these six diversities of the one truth by invoking their benedictions. Bande Guru Nisha Bhaktan Isham Ivatarakam Tat Prakasham Tat Chatat Shakti Krishna Chaitanya Sangyatkam. That's Sanskrit. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord, the Lord's incarnations, his plenary portions, his energies, and the primeval Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Purport, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has composed this Sanskrit verse for the beginning of his book, and he will now explain it in detail. He offers his respectful obeisances to the six principles of the Absolute Truth. Gurun is plural in number because anyone who gives spiritual instructions based on the revealed scriptures is accepted as a spiritual master. So we're going to talk about the different types of gurus. Although others give help in showing the way to beginners, the guru who first initiates one with the Maha Mantra is known as the initiator, and the saints who give instructions for progressive advancement in Krishna consciousness are called instructing spiritual masters. So, technical Sanskrit word where the person or the guru first gives help, or the person who gives help in showing the way to beginners, is Vartma Pradarshika Guru. And in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, was his mother. And the person who initiated him, of course, is called the Diksha Guru, that was Narada Muni. And Narada Muni was also his Shiksha Guru. So the initiating and instructing spiritual masters are equal and identical manifestations of Krishna, although they have different dealings. Their function is to guide the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. For Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami accepted Nityananda Prabhu and the six Goswamis in the category of Guru. Isha walked on, refers to the devotees of the Lord like Sri Srivasa and all other such followers who are the energy of the Lord and are qualitatively non-different from him, but not quantitatively non-different from him. Qualitative means they have the same qualities. Quantitative means in smaller quantities. Isha Avatar Khan refers to acharyas like a Dvaitacharya who is an avatar of the Lord. Tat Prakashan indicates the direct manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nityananda Prabhu, and the initiating spiritual master. So Nityananda Prabhu is non-different than Lord Balaram, who is the original guru. There's an interesting verse that Ma Bala Hine Na Labwa. Without the mercy of Balaram, no one makes any spiritual advancement. And then Narottama Das Thakur says, Balaram Hoila Natai. Balaram has now appeared as Lord Nityananda. So the way that we can make advancement in devotional service is first we approach the spiritual master, who was the representative of Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda and the spiritual master and the disciple succession enable us to become free from anarthas by their instructions. Of course, it is also kripa, or mercy. Just like we talk about kripa siddhi, okay, or someone who is perfect by blessings. Well, we are actually, if we are becoming perfect, hopefully we are perfect or becoming perfect by the blessings of Lord Nityananda, the spiritual master, because we accept them. And the way that we accept them is following their instructions. And in this way, we become free from unwanted things like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. These are called anarthas. And when one becomes free from these anarthas, relatively, one can approach Lord Chaitanya. And when one approaches Lord Chaitanya, one comes to the ecstatic platform. And by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, this is a progressive path, one can approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. So, Tat Shaktihi refers to the spiritual energies, Shaktis of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gadadhar, Damodar, and Jagannanda belong to this category of internal energy. So Swarup Damodar Goswami is considered an incarnation of Lalita Devi. Jagadananda is considered an incarnation of Satyabhama. Gadadhar is considered an incarnation of Srimati Radharani, because they're Shakti Tattva. That means the category of the Lord's energy, especially the spiritual energy in this particular case. We are not Shakti Tattva. We are Jiva Tattva. And the reason we are Jiva Tattva is that we are the marginal potency of the Lord. Marginal means, well, let's use an example given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The line on the beach between the sand and the ocean is the margin. But really, it's non-existent, because you're either wet or not wet, or either in the ocean or not in the ocean. So in other words, the jiva soul cannot be in between Maya and Krishna. The jiva soul has to choose. In that sense, He is marginal because he can choose one or the other, but he can't just be in the middle. I'm not Maya, and I'm not Krishna conscious. Of course, you could say, well, he goes to the Brahma Jyoti, you know, that's not really the middle. He's still in the spiritual energy of the Lord. The six principles are differently manifested, but all equally worshipable. Krishna's Kaviraj begins by offering his obeisances unto them to teach us the method of worshiping Lord Chaitanya. The external potency of Godhead, called Maya, can never associate with the Lord, just as darkness cannot remain in the presence of light, yet darkness being but an illusory and temporary covering of light, has no existence independent of light. That's a fact. You can't say, turn on the darkness. You can say, cover the light, and therefore we have darkness. For example, in my bedroom, we had to put a lot of curtains because we have an outside lamp, and so otherwise the light will come in. It's not that I flip a switch and darkness comes. So darkness has no existence in and of itself. In fact, this is described in the Chatushloki verses of the Bhagavatam. Ritam na pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani tad vidyat atmano mayam yata basa yata tamaha, wherein Krishna describes the Lord Brahma. He says, illusion is actually when one sees things not in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or another expression that we're very familiar with is Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hai Andhakar, that's Bengali. Krishna's the sun, Maya's the darkness. And where there is Krishna, there cannot be any darkness. And when there's darkness, there's no Krishna, or Krishna's hidden, let's say. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the Guru Mantra. Guru Arayata Shiksha Guru Gan Tanhara Charane Age Kariya Vandan. I offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of my initiating spiritual master and all my instructing spiritual masters. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his thesis, Bhakti Sandarbha 202, has stated that uncontaminated devotional service is the objective of pure Vaishnavas, and one has to execute such service in the association of other devotees. By associating with devotees of Lord Krishna, one develops a sense of Krishna consciousness, and thus one becomes inclined toward the loving service of the Lord. This is the process of approaching the Supreme Lord by gradual appreciation and devotional service. If one desires unalloyed devotional service, one must associate with devotees of Sri Krishna. For by such association, only can a conditioned soul achieve a taste or transcendental love, and thus revive his eternal relationship with Godhead in a specific manifestation and in terms of the specific transcendental mellow ras that one has eternally inherent in him. Very good expression, eternally inherent in him. It's not something from outside. Now, why is it that only in the association of devotees can this be achieved? Why cannot I achieve it just with Krishna? Hey, why bring in all those devotees and make my life complicated? Well, the reason is, actually one of the main reasons is, that if you want to love Krishna, Krishna does not give you love of himself. He just doesn't. Because love of Krishna has been given independence by Krishna. And that love of Krishna is called bhakti, which is not like the love of this material world, where you love someone's car, you love someone's computer, you love someone's hairdo. It's not love. But the love that's being mentioned here is Anyabhi Lashita Shunyam, Jnana Karma Navriktam, Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilenam Bhakti Rudamam. The desire simply to please and wholly and solely being interested in the pleasure of Krishna. So that love called bhakti is possessed by Krishna's devotees, because bhakti is independent. And so if you want to get bhakti, you got to approach Krishna's devotee, as described by the mercy of Krishna, one gets guru, and by the mercy of guru, one gets Krishna. And the mercy of guru is called the bhakti lata bij, the seed of the creeper of devotion, which one waters by hearing and chanting, and eventually that creeper of devotion pierces the coverings of the material universe and gives off flowers that shower the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have to approach the devotees. Krishna se tumar, Krishna dite par, as Narottama Das Thakur prays, Krishna's yours, you have the power to give him to me. And then also, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastrakai, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva sirihor. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just a little bit of association gives you all perfection, even 1/11th of a second, which is a lava matra. Or in the Bhagavatam, you have swadunyupal, nusevaya. That one moment's association with a pure devotee of the Lord is more valuable than repeated bathings in the Ganges River. So one approaches a pure devotee of the Lord by hearing Shushu Shro Shradanasha Vasudeva Kataruchi Shanmahat Sevya Vipra Punyatirtha Shavana, by hearing and doing. Because if you hear and you don't do, of course you're not hearing, you're listening, and goes in one ear and out another, then you're not really associating. Association means bhavanti vritkarna. What does that mean? That you take it to your heart, the sound vibration. Hare Krishna, you take it right. Bhavanti vritkarna rasayana kata. It's Lord Kapiladeva's instruction. So one develops love for Krishna by Krishna conscious activities. One can know the Supreme Absolute Truth, but he who tries to understand God simply by logical arguments will not succeed, nor will he get a taste for unalloyed devotion. The secret is that one must submissively listen to those who know perfectly the science of God, and one must begin the mode of service regulated by the preceptor. Preceptor means the teacher. A devotee already attracted by the name, form, qualities, etc. of the Supreme Lord may be directed to his specific manner of devotional service. He need not waste time in approaching the Lord through logic. Remember that. Not waste time in approaching the Lord through logic. In other words, here's what I was going to speak about in the next sentence. The expert spiritual master knows well how to engage his disciples' energy and the transcendental loving service of the Lord, unless he engages the disciple in a specific devotional service according to his special tendency. What does that mean? Well, let me unpack it. That every one of us has a certain tendency which is related with the varna. That is, we have a tendency to be intellectual and philosophical, like that. Or we have a tendency to control. That's a kshatriya, of course. We love to control. Or we have a tendency to acquire wealth and take care of cows. That's a vaishya. Or we have a tendency to turn our phone off. Hold on a second. At least during class. Or we have a tendency just to work with our hands, and we're just very happy doing artistic things and everything like that. It's a shudra. So the spiritual master looks at the disciple and ascertains. How does he ascertain? It is so easy to figure out what one's varna is. Just like in the Mahabharata, let's give an example of the Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata, we have Arjuna, who won Draupadi, very nice. But Drupada, the father of Draupadi, of course, Draupadi was born from fire, He didn't know whether the Pandavas were Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, or Shudras. Of course, they dressed like Brahmanas at that time because they were hiding out from the Kurus. But Drupada didn't know who had won his daughter. And so what he did is when they came into his kingdom for the first time, he put the implements for each varna out on the table. He put books out there. He put swords and bows and arrows and knives. He put money and gold. Of course, in those days, money meant gold. And then he put some, I guess, hammer and nails and stuff like that. So the Pandavas, when they walked in, they immediately grabbed the weapons and said, "Ooh, isn't this a cool bow? Isn't this a nice knife? Isn't this a nice whatever?" Like that. They didn't have guns in those days. So we understood, oh, they're Kshatriyas. Another way to see if someone's a Kshatriya is that they can tolerate pain. For example, when Parashuram was teaching Karna, first he was thinking Karna was a Brahmin. But when Karna was able to tolerate this burrowing bug, burrowing means it got its way under his skin and he was bleeding, when Karna was able to tolerate that, he knew that Karna was not a Brahmin, because a Brahmin would never tolerate such a thing. Brahmin likes sweets and stuff like that. So, and then he got very angry at Karna and cursed Karna, but that's a different story. So the spiritual master, it's very easy. You can see what people like to do, what people can do all day long and be happy. I mean, for example, my own life, I like reading and understanding things and studying and stuff like that. And I know how to do a lot of things, but everything else, if I try to do it all day long, would drive me bananas. So therefore, I understand I have a Brahminical tendency. So the expert spiritual master engages a disciple appropriately. He doesn't try to fit a square peg in a round hole and a round peg in a square hole. He engages everybody according to their psychophysical nature. Prabhupada actually said that. That's the spiritual master's duty. So one must approach the spiritual master and ask the spiritual master, "What should I do in life?" And the spiritual master may say to one disciple, "Get a PhD, Prabhu." Or another disciple, "Go to the plow department." You know, plowing the land. Krishigo Rakshavanijan, Vaishakarmas Vavajan. So a devotee must have only one initiating spiritual master, because in the scriptures, acceptance of more than one is always forbidden. There is no limit, however, to the number of instructing spiritual masters one may accept. Generally, a spiritual master who constantly instructs a disciple in spiritual science becomes his initiating spiritual master later on. Generally, that's the case. And also, if we accept some instructing spiritual master, or masters, then we should get permission from our initiating spiritual master. It's very important to get permission, because sometimes the spiritual master will see certain things that may not be productive for our own spiritual life and will protect us. One should always remember that a person who is reluctant to accept a spiritual master and be initiated is sure to be baffled in his endeavor to go back to Godhead. Because part of initiation is getting instructions. It's not just like a ceremony. Oh, I have my guru and my Hare Krishna name. But you have to accept instruction. And if you want to pick and choose between different spiritual masters, that means you are the spiritual master, not your spiritual master. Because you can pick and choose which instruction you want. And it's like shopping for instructions. Like sometimes when we buy something, we go shopping, but we're not buying instructions from the guru. Guru Daksha doesn't mean you're buying instructions. Give me 1 second. Turn something on. The floor is cold, and I turn on my floor pad. One who is not properly initiated may present himself as a great devotee, but in fact he is sure to encounter many stumbling blocks on his path of progress towards spiritual realization. With the result is he must continue his term, he must, that's an absolute, continue his term of material existence without relief. Such a helpless person is compared to a ship without a rudder, for such a ship can never reach its destination. So accepting the spiritual master means to accept the guidance of the spiritual master. Otherwise, you are on the mano-retainasati dhavato-bahi, the mental plane. It is imperative, therefore, that one accept a spiritual master be at all desires to gain the favor of the Lord. The service of the spiritual master is essential. If there is no chance to serve the spiritual master directly, a devotee should serve him by remembering his instructions. So there's vani and vapu. Vani means instructions, vapu means form, direct. There is no difference between the spiritual master's instructions and the spiritual master himself. In his absence, therefore, his words of direction should be the pride of the disciple. If one thinks that he is above consulting anyone else, including a spiritual master, he is at once an offender at the lotus feet of the Lord. Such an offender can never go back to Godhead. It is imperative that a serious person accept a bona fide spiritual master in terms of the Shastric injunctions. Srila Jiva Goswami advises that one not accept a spiritual master in terms of hereditary or customary social and ecclesiastical conventions. One should simply try to find a fundamentally qualified spiritual master for actual advancement in spiritual understanding. That is very, very interesting. Simply try to find a genuinely qualified spiritual master for actual advancement in spiritual understanding. In other words, sometimes you get a family guru who is called a Kula guru. And then, you know, sometimes the young boys at 5, 6, or 7, they accept the Raman thread at that age. But that is not the point. Next text. Shri Rupa Sanatan Pato Raghunath, Shri Jiva Gopalavata Dasa Raghunath. My instructing spiritual masters are Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Sanatan Goswami, Shri Bhatta Raghunath, Shri Jiva Goswami, Shri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Shri Raghunath Das Goswami. Those are the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan. And especially he associated with Raghunath Das Goswami because he lived right next to Raghunath Das Goswami at Shyamakund and at the Manasa Patana Ghat, which we've talked about many times before. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, later on, two centuries later, actually lived at the same spot, had his bhajan kutir at the same spot. And we're inviting all of you to go to Govardhan, Radhakund, Shyamakund, and the rest of Braj with us as soon as we can go and the virus is over. H.I. Guru, Shiksha Guru, Ye Amar, Tansabara Pada Padme Koti Namaskar. These 6 are my instructing spiritual masters, and therefore I offer millions of respectful obeisances unto their lotus feet. By accepting the 6 Goswamis as his instructing spiritual masters, the author specifically makes it clear that one should not be recognized as a Gaudiya Vaishnava if he is not obedient to them. Very important. Bhagavan Nair Bhakti Yata Srivasa Padan Tansavara Pada Padme Sahasra Pranam. There are innumerable devotees of the Lord, of whom Srivas Thakura is the foremost. I offer my respectful obeisances thousands of times unto their lotus feet. Advaitacharya Prabhura Ansha Avatar Tanra Pada Padme Koti Pranati Amar. Advaitacharya is the Lord's partial incarnation, and therefore I offer my obeisances millions of times at his lotus feet. Nichananda Rai Prabhura Swarup Prakash Tanra Pada Padma Vando Yandra Munidash. Sri Nichananda Ram is the plenary manifestation of the Lord, and I have been initiated by him. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. Wow. disciple of Lord Nityananda. Gadadhar Panditari Prabhuvarani Jashati Tansavara Charane Mora Sahastra Pranati. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the internal potencies of the Lord, of whom Sri Gadadhar Prabhu is the foremost. That's Radharani, of course. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Swayam Bhagavan Tanhara Paravinde Ananta Pranama. Pranama. Yeah, that's right. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the personality of Godhead himself, and therefore I offer innumerable prostrations at his lotus feet. Savarane Prabhure Prabhure Kariya Namaskar Echayatanhoyache Kariye Vichar. Having offered obeisances unto the Lord and all of his associates, I shall now try to explain these six diversities in one. Purport. There are many unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of whom are considered associates surrounding the Lord. Krishna should be worshipped with his devotees. The diverse principles are therefore the eternal paraphernalia through which the Absolute Truth can be approached. And Prabhupada explained, then whenever you have God or whenever you have an important person, all of that important person's associates, that is, all of God's associates, are with him. He's never alone. That's why Prabhupada did not like pictures of Krishna playing his flute out there in the stratosphere with the stars surrounding him, because Krishna is always surrounded by loving devotees. Yadyapyamara Guru Chaitanya Radas Tatapi Janyehami Tanhara Prakash. Although I know that my spiritual master is the servitor of Sri Chaitanya, I know him also as a plenary manifestation of the Lord. In other words, talking about Lord Nityananda here, who is non-different from Lord Chaitanya. Every living entity is essentially a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the spiritual master is also his servant. Still, the spiritual master is a direct manifestation of the Lord. With this conviction, a disciple can advance in Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master is non-different from Krishna because he is a manifestation of Krishna. Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram himself, the first direct manifestation or expansion of Krishna, is the original spiritual master. He helps people with pastimes, and he is a servant of the Lord. Every living entity is eternally a servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Therefore, the spiritual master cannot be other than a servant of Lord Chaitanya. The spiritual master's eternal occupation is to expand the service of the Lord by training disciples in a service attitude. That's his occupation. The spiritual master never poses as the Supreme Lord himself. He is considered a representative of the Lord. The revealed scriptures prohibit ones pretending to be God, but a bona fide spiritual master is a most faithful and confidential servant of the Lord, and therefore deserves as much respect as Krishna. And of course, Krishna says, one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee, but one who says he is a devotee of my devotee is my devotee. That's from the Adi Purana. And Lord Shiva says, Radhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Radhanam Param Tasmat Padaturam Devi Tvariyanam Samarchanam. He says, the best type of worship is worship of Vishnu, but even better than worshiping Vishnu is to worship Vishnu's devotee. Text 45. Guru Krishna Rupahan Shastra Praman Guru Rupe Krishna Kripa Karena Bhakta Khan. According to the deliberate opinion of all revealed scriptures, the spiritual master is non-different from Krishna, Lord Krishna, in the form of the spiritual master delivers his devotees. Remember this in Chincha Beta Beta Beta. Chincha Beta Beta Tattva philosophy. He's non-different and different from Krishna. In other words, ontologically, there's a big word for you, that is his identity, is he's not God. He's a servant of God, but he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of servitude, or as described, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of spiritual Godhead. Purport. The relationship of a disciple with a spiritual master is as good as his relationship with the Supreme Lord. A spiritual master always represents himself as the humblest servitor of the personality of God. The disciple must look upon him as the manifested representation of Godhead. So that's why it's dangerous for a neophyte disciple to associate too much with a spiritual master, because after a while, the disciple will think, hey, just like me. He wants to eat prasadam, okay. He gets his clothes dirty, yeah, maybe. And you tend to see someone in mundane ways without seeing the devotional mood. So, very, very dangerous. Just like it describes, also dangerous for a neophyte disciple to, or a neophyte devotee, to worship the deities. Because after a while, you take the deities just like something ordinary. You just go in and say, all right, time to get you dressed. All right, this is my service. My real service is taking prasadam after I do my deity worship. So, and next verse is actually a Sanskrit verse. Very important verse. Acharya mam bhijaniyan navamanyeta karichit namarcha budyasu yeta sarvadeva mayoguru. One should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all the demigods. And Prabhupada explains this is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 17th chapter, text 27, spoken by Lord Krishna when he was questioned by Uddhava regarding the four social and spiritual orders of society. That's Varnashram. As we mentioned before, the spiritual master engages the disciple in executing Varnashram according to the disciple's psychophysical nature. So the Lord was specifically instructing how a brahmachari should behave under the care of a spiritual master. A spiritual master is not an enjoyer of facilities offered by his disciples. He's like a parent. Without the intent of service of the parents, a child cannot grow to manhood. Similarly, without the care of the spiritual master, one cannot rise to the plane of transcendental service. And Bhagavatam also describes that, what is that? Brahmachari gurukuleva sandanda gurodi tamarchayan dasvad nicha. That the devotee should make his place of residence the home of the spiritual master. In other words, if he's living even in his own home, he has to think, this is my spiritual master's abode. And he has to, Brahmachari Guru Kule, Vasandanta, he learns how to control his senses. Danta, danta means tame his senses. And Gurad Hiditam, work for the benefit of the spiritual master. So in the traditional Vedic system, there was so much training so the disciple would imbibe those particular principles. And some of the training that's mentioned in the Mahabharata is actually quite heavy training. We don't do that nowadays. And maybe sometime I'll describe that. But time is getting shorter. The spiritual master is also called Acharya. Let's see how much more time. Whoops. Let me give that story and then we'll continue with this tomorrow. So the Mahabharata, here's one story from the Mahabharata. Once upon a time, there was a spiritual master who was testing his disciple. Let's see, which one are we going to tell? Let's tell the story about the fat disciple. So he was testing his disciple, and he wanted his disciple to lose weight, so he sent his disciple out to take care of the cows. But the disciple kept getting fatter, and he asked the disciple, why are you getting fatter? And the disciple said, because I'm begging and getting some food. And the spiritual master said, no, you're supposed to give me everything when you beg. So disciple went out again, kept getting fatter. Spiritual master said, what are you doing? And the disciple said, every time I beg, I give to you. Second time, I give to myself. And the spiritual master said, no, that's not the process. Every time you beg, you should give to me. And then he sent the disciple out again. The disciple was getting fatter. And the disciple told the spiritual master, I'm drinking the milk from the cows that I'm taking care of. The disciple was told by the spiritual master, no, that milk is for the calves, not for you, buddy. And so he sent the disciple out again, and the disciple was still getting fat. And the spiritual master said, what are you doing now? And the disciple said, I'm drinking the froth that the calves leave over when they're drinking from the cows. And the spiritual master said, no, don't do that. That's meant for the calves. Don't take what's meant for them, for yourself. And so one day, the disciple was out there, and he couldn't tolerate it anymore, and he ate some leaves from the tree that were poisonous, became blinded, fell in a ditch. Spiritual master went to look for his disciple and found him in the ditch, left him in the ditch, and he said, you should pray to the Ashwini Kumaras, and they'll save you. So the disciple prayed to the Ashwini Kumaras. They gave his disciples some medicine in the shape of a cake, and they said, eat. And the disciple learned his lesson by that point, and he said, I'm not going to even take this medicine without my guru's permission. And then the Ashwini Kumaras blessed this disciple, get his vision back, and he was blessed by the guru because he passed the guru's test. The disciple lived happily ever after. So that's the training of the spiritual master. At least one story from the Mahabharata, the beginning of the Mahabharata. So now, with that happy note, don't let any of you get scared, we are going to ask for questions. And at first we have to stop sharing, and then we have to allow you to ask questions. Hold on a second. Okay. Who wants to ask a question? Don't raise your hand, just unmute yourself. First one to unmute. Not you, Pranesha. You already asked too many questions. Just ask your wife. She'll answer all your questions. She'll answer all your questions for you. What are you married for if you can't ask your wife questions instead of your guru? So it's the purpose of marriage. So, all right, one quick question, Pranesha.
Yeah. So like the love of Krishna, and also as people need love and care, so how both go parallel?
Love and care for Krishna?
No, love for Krishna, and also the love and care for the people. People need love and care.
Yeah, because Yastu sarva nibhutame atma naivana pashati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tato navigigupshate. One who sees everyone in relationship with Krishna, then you love everybody. That's pretty easy to understand, isn't it?
Yeah.
Krishna says, you know, ham bijas pradapitaha. I'm everyone's father. So if you love the father, then you love the son or the daughter. See, everyone in relationship with Krishna, yumam pashati sarva chasavam chamayi pashati tashaham na praneshami sachame. So, see your wife in relationship to Krishna too.
Yes, Guru.
That's your question. Okay, you asked your question of the day. So, who else wants to ask a question? Got to give other people opportunities.
Please accept my humble obeisance, Gurudev.
Yeah, okay. So, you have a question?
Yes. Can we do chanting for somebody else?
You can chant for someone else, but they still have to chant for themselves. You can't, if someone doesn't chant their rounds, you can't say, well, I chanted 32 rounds, 16 for me, 16 for you. And so you don't have to chant your rounds today. Also, yeah, the only way that'll work if you say, I ate your prasadam today too. You understand? So you should not eat today because I ate your prasadam as well as my own prasadam, so you should fast. Then it'll work. But otherwise, you can't chant someone else's rounds for them. But you could chant for the benefit of someone else.
Oh, yes.
I do that all the time. Yeah, that's obvious. I do it all the time for all the rascals out there. Those of you who know what I'm talking, who are out there, know who I'm talking about. So anyway, so I do that. Anyway, so that's funny. So, chant for the benefit of someone else. That's compassion and mercy. Okay, who else has a question?
Hare Krishna Gurudev, this is Adi Devdas, Dandavat Pranam.
Adi Dev, good to hear you. Or we don't see you.
Oh, yeah.
The better to see you.
Yeah, so in the purport we read that, you know, the importance of Diksha Guru. How to reconcile that with the like, you know, we focus mainly on the Siksha line that, you know, we have, you know, you know, yes. Altar, we have all the Siksha Gurus pictures, you know, the way we worship like that. And whereas in the purports we read that the Diksha Guru is a prominent.
Well, the Diksha Guru is in the same line. I mean, just like all of us, hopefully, in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, accept His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada as the predominant name, whatever word you want to use, Siksha Guru. And our Diksha Guru should be in the same line as Prabhupada. And so everything has to be, let's say, on the same frequency like that. And that way everything is copathetic or, let's say, compatible. Even though there may be many Diksha Gurus or in this world many Siksha Gurus, but everything should be compatible with the teaching, with all of our Guru's teachings. Like you have the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were all compatible, obviously, with each other and with Lord Nityananda. So there has to be a certain compatibility like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, you can't go shopping. Sometimes we want to go shopping and let's say, Guru, where's the best instruction? Like the Guru gives us some instruction and say, well, can I get a second opinion? Like we go to a doctor sometimes and we want to get a second opinion from the doctor. I mean, obviously that's a good idea, especially if the doctor is diagnosing you as being crazy. And you are crazy. I would like to get a second opinion. So things have to be compatible, and we don't want to go shopping for different opinions, because that means we're making everything, we're taking our own mind as the Guru at that particular point. Okay?
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so who else wants to ask a question? We're going very quickly through our questions today.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Oh, Gaur Hari. Jai Gauri. From Central America.
That's right. Yeah. I have a question, and this is in terms or in light of the first verse of the Nectar of Instruction. Could you please expand a little bit on that verse, the first verse of the Nectar of Instruction?
What is confusing you in the first verse of the Nectar of Instruction?
Well, it's not really confusing, but it's the spiritual master is analyzing a different way. Because it says, for instance, that someone who has who can tolerate the urges of the tongue, the urges of and the man's demand, the mind's demand.
That's right. That means that basically what that verse states is that one should, at least to be a bona fide spiritual master, one should be on the level of nishta. That's actually what that verse is indicating. There's different levels of devotional service. Ado sradhata sadhu sangota bhajanakriya tada nartunavritti shat the nishta, sorry. Nishta means steadiness 24/7. So before one is an absolutely pure devotee in prema, one can still act as a spiritual master if one is steady, nitya means eternal. So one is steady in devotional service and able to tolerate the push, because as long as one has a material body or a body in this world, I mean, even if one is a pure devotee of the Lord, let's say Prabhupada, who was an absolute pure devotee, Nitya Siddha devotee, one time they were doing a spinal tap on Prabhupada. And a spinal tap is actually something that's really painful, if any of you have ever had a spinal tap. And devotees asked Prabhupada, is it painful? And Prabhupada said, we tolerate. So Prabhupada was indicating that even if you are an absolutely pure devotee, which Prabhupada was, a Nityasiddha devotee, which Prabhupada is, sorry, then still, because you have this body, there's still things you got to tolerate that come about because of this body. Otherwise, we would say that the pure devotee is not engaged in any austerity because he has no feelings. So even the pure devotee, by taking a body in this world, has to tolerate certain things. However, looking at it from another angle of vision, if one is on the platform of nishtha, steadiness and devotional service, and able to tolerate, then that is the prerequisite for acting as a guru in this world. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pashta vegam, which is what you're giving right there. One is able to tolerate the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words, and not give in to them. And actually, the only way you can tolerate is if you're devoted to Krishna. Because if you're not devoted to Krishna, you can tolerate for some of the time, but not all the time. Just like the case of Vishwamitra Muni, who was meditating for, I think it was 10,000 years or some long period of time. And then who came along but Menaka, being sent by the demigods, and she rang her little ankle bells. She rang her ankle bells, and Vishwamitra Muni, who had his eyes closed, opened his eyes, and he saw her, and that was it as far as his meditation. Phew. And then the little baby Shakuntala was born as a result of that. So that's why, actually, that's another interesting factor. That's why when a yogi meditates, they should close their eyes halfway, not fully. Because if they close their eyes fully, they go to sleep. If they open their eyes, then they see all the illusory factors of this material world, and then they fall in maya. So just close your eyes fully, halfway, and look at your nose. And I know very few yogis that got attracted to their nose. Fell in love with their nose. And so it's very effective in meditation. So anyway, so getting back to your point, yes, that is the basic foundational or prerequisite for someone, or minimum requisite for someone to act as a guru, if they're able to control tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. And of course, a real guru is able to do that, plus a more advanced guru is able to, Mahaprabhu, Kirtana, and Richagita, Varitrama, Dhyan, Manaso, Rusena. Is feeling ecstasy every time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name is chanted or the Kirtana of Lord Chaitanya is presented. But it is an important factor. And perhaps if someone is not able, that's actually ways you can see if someone's a bona fide guru. That's also described in the Bhagavatam, Samit Pani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam, that a pure devotee is Samit Pani, a servant of his spiritual master. Shrotriyam is heard nicely from his spiritual master. And then there's that word Nishtam, Brahmanishtam, he's fixed in Krishna consciousness. Nishtam means 24/7, not just during the morning program, and then all hell breaks loose. 24/7. You should be able to put a webcam in your spiritual master's house and watch him 24 hours a day. No, that's a joke. To ascertain, see if he's bona fide. If you try that with me, I would break your webcam. So, good question. So, there's an answer, a question here. If the jiva is either wet or dry, not both, what is a majjhima? That question I do not understand. If the jiva is either wet, the soul is not wet, the soul is not dry, and he's not both. He's transcendental. Wet and dry refer to different qualities in this material world. A majjhima adhikari means someone who is in between the Kanishta, or materialistic platform, and the pure devotee platform, not Madhuva. And actually, Sumadhuva means one who has a thin waist. Here's another one. Oh, Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances. Yes, I accept. Is it okay to listen to lectures given by gurus, bona fide gurus belonging to other paramparas, if they're not contradicting our parampara from His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada? You know, from time to time we can listen. I mean, certainly I may read something that Sripad Ramanujacharya wrote. I have read it. His Sri Bhasha, you can read the writings. And he's a different parampara than us. It's the Ramanuja or Sri Sampradaya. As long as it doesn't contradict or diminish our faith in His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. I mean, really, that's the point. Minimize Srila Prabhupada. We have to be very, very careful about statements that would minimize Prabhupada or equate him with just any old guru or young guru, like that. Just like I was asked a question by one devotee today, it's a statement by some political leaders in India praising Prabhupada. And there they referred to Prabhupada as a man. So, of course, we appreciate that they're doing that, but we have to be very, very careful when there is some reference to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada in ordinary terms, like man. Yeah, if you were to go, and I remember devotees did that, you know, they presented Prabhupada, they wrote one time, you know, Prabhupada is a man, and Prabhupada got very disturbed with that. Because one should not acharyamam viganiyam navamanye tukarichit, as the verse we read today in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Namarcha bujasuyeta sarvadaya deva mayo guru. The guru should not be considered an ordinary person, or a man, or a woman, but should be considered a Vaishnava, or Vaishnavi. A guru, a lady can be a guru too, and that's a Vaishnavi. But not man or woman or anything like that. So one has to be very careful that one doesn't hear criticism of his guru or minimization of the guru that's in veiled language. Now, I'll leave it to you to unpack what I meant by veiled language. You can look that up in the dictionary if you like, because that's quite dangerous. So, one other question. You all have time for one question.
Rudy?
Yes, Mr. Gopal.
There's something in chat, but you can decide if you want that one or mine.
Does it require permission from Diksha Guru to get Diksha from another guru? Yes. So, all right, so what question do you have?
So in the purport that you were reading just earlier, it said that the guru acts as a parent for the disciple to protect.
Yeah.
The instructions coming from the guru are like instructions coming from a parent to a child. So if one takes initiation when one is already an adult and has learned very bad habits, as far as being a son or daughter to his biological parents, how does he get over such bad childhood habits by actually being obedient to the spiritual master as he never had been to his biological parents?
Uses his intelligence. I had that experience. I was the most unsubmissive son, at least towards my mother. I'm not going to tell all the stories right now because, you know, it'll make everybody seem like I was really bad, which I was. And actually, until I came in touch with Prabhupada, I was never obedient or submissive towards anyone my whole life. Seriously. But when I came in touch with Prabhupada, it was not that Prabhupada demanded respect, he commanded respect. So automatically, using my intelligence and also my devotion, I immediately became submissive to Prabhupada. I don't remember any instance where I projected my mundane experience conception upon my relationship with Prabhupada. You know, of course, I joined when I was very young, 2 years of age. Oh, no, sorry. I joined the movement when I was about 20. You know, it was rather young. But before that, I mean, I was extremely rebellious. I mean, I can't tell you how rebellious I was in those days, because it would embarrass me in front of all my disciples who are online right now. If you're interested in hearing, there's a biography that's written by Govinda Lilamrita that details all my rebellion towards my mother. So you can read it. It'll be available on Amazon.com as soon as it's edited. So anyway, but with Prabhupada, I immediately, you know, he commanded respect, he commanded obedience, he commanded love, and there was no question about it. So I didn't find any problem in changing my attitude towards parental figures as soon as I met Prabhupada. Okay, we have to end now, so we'll see everybody tomorrow evening. Thank you all very much for joining us, and have a good night, or a good morning, or a good midday, depending on where you are, and we'll see you tomorrow and continue with our study of the Chaitanya Charitamrita.